The first reading today we hear from the beginning of the book of Genesis. We're told that on the first day that God created the light, and he saw how good the light was. And then it says he separated the light from the darkness. And this confuses people because we hear then toward the end of the reading about the fact that on the fourth day, God created the two great lights, the greater one to govern the day, the lesser to govern the night, meaning the sun and the moon. And people say, well, wait a minute, if the sun wasn't created yet, how did they have light on the first day? Where did that light come from? The first day was not about material creation. The first day is the creation of the angels. God created the angels filled with light. They were filled with his sanctifying grace. They were filled with truth. They were filled with charity. He saw how good it was. Then he tested the angels. Some of them, like your guardian angel, passed the test and went into heaven. And then a third of them didn't. And Satan and his minions rejected God's light, and they chose darkness. And that is the separation of the light from the darkness on the first day. Unlike the physical light and the physical darkness that comes with the sunrise and then the sun going down at night, this is a spiritual darkness and a spiritual light. We recognize the goodness thereof. We also have to recognize that on the first day of creation, God created persons. Remember, God is three persons. And then he created the angels. They are pure spirit, but they are persons. They are like God in the sense that they don't have a body, but they are not perfect as God is. They don't have souls like we do because they are just plain pure spirit. They were created to adore God and to worship him, but they were created also, as the word angel means, messenger. They were created ultimately to be messengers between God and us. So on the last day of creation, God created persons, human persons this time. And what's really fascinating about all of this is that we recognize on that first day that God created angels who are by nature way above us. And he saw how good it was. And then he created you and me. Humanity. And it says, God looked at what he made, and indeed it was very good. It wasn't just good anymore. It was good when he made the angels. It was good when he created the earth and everything on it. It was only very good after he created humanity. It didn't take long for Adam and Eve to mess things up, just as it doesn't take long for you and me to mess things up. We do a very efficient job of that. But that doesn't change who we are. By nature, you are made in the image and likeness of God. By nature, you are very good. That cannot change. That's the part we must understand. This was Martin Luther's big problem. This is the primary difference between Catholics and Protestants, is the view of the human person. Martin Luther believed that when Adam and Eve fell, that our nature was changed. It was corrupted. If our nature changed, it's no longer a human nature. And if it's no longer a human nature, then we aren't saved, because Jesus Christ took a human nature to himself and died for those of us who are human. So there's a major problem. But we also have to recognize what the church teaches us. When Satan fell, his nature did not change. His will is 100% turned against God, but his nature did not change. His nature is still an angelic nature, and his nature actually is still good, because God cannot create something that is evil. And I say all of that to simply say, as we look at ourselves, because many of us, sadly, have been horribly affected by that lie Martin Luther brought forth, but Satan brought it forth way before Martin Luther ever thought of it. And that is that you are worthless. You are garbage. You are no good. You are whatever. You want whatever you want to think of yourself in these horrible ways that we think of ourselves. It is a lie. It is Satan's lie. Read the first page of the Bible. God said about you that you are very good. You. I know that's hard to believe for some of us. That cannot change. If Satan's nature didn't change when he fell, his fall was way worse than Adam and Eve's. And what he did is way worse than anything that you and I will ever be able to do. And if his nature didn't change, neither did yours. That's part of the struggle in the spiritual life that most of us have to deal with. Actually believing that we are lovable. Actually believing that we are good. And it's not just good, it's very good. When God looks at you, that's what he sees. He sees his own son or daughter. You can't be a son or daughter of God if you're a piece of trash. You can't be a son or daughter of God unless you share in his nature, which is what he's done when he baptized you and raised you up to become his own son or daughter, a partaker of the divine nature, and one who shares the divine life. You were very good in your creation. And then God lifted that to a supernatural level, making it even better than what it was. And Satan is right there to say, oh, you are no good. You are a loser. You are rotten. You are worthless. Whatever. He is a liar. But as I have harped on many, many times and will continue to, I'm sure, for the rest of my life, I do not understand for the life of me why we are so willing to listen to Satan's lies and so unwilling to listen to God's truth. The truth will set you free, Jesus said, and we want to be slaves to the lie. Tell the liar where he can go, because that's where he chose to go. You can literally tell him to go there. That's fine. That's where he wanted to be. Tell him to go there and get away from you. Tell him to take his lies and get away and stop believing what he's telling you and accept God's truth, because you are made in his image and likeness. You are made in the image and likeness of God who is love, the image and likeness of God who is truth, the image and likeness of God who is life. That is who you are. That cannot change. Like Satan, yes, we can change our will. We can choose to do things that are stupid. We can choose to do things that violate our own dignity. But even if it violates that dignity, it doesn't change it. So no matter what has happened to you in your life, no matter how badly anybody has violated you or whatever you've done to your own self, that doesn't change who you are. That doesn't change your dignity even the slightest. Who God created you to be still is there. So let's reject the lies. Let's accept the truth. If you've done things that have violated your own dignity, If you've confessed them, the sin is gone. Now we just need to keep working to build ourselves back to where God wants us to be. Someone else has violated your dignity. Work to forgive that person, but be free, because they can't define who you are. God defines who you are. So when he looked at his angels that he created on the first day, before the test of the angels, he saw how good it was. But when he created you, he saw that it was very good. That's what he still sees in you. That's what he sees when he looks at you. He doesn't look at you and say, "Oh my goodness, what a mistake I made. That person's such a loser." No, that is not what he says when he looks at you. He sees someone who by nature is very good. He sees someone made in his own image and likeness. He sees somebody that he loves so much that he would become one of us to die so that we could spend eternity with him. That's what he sees when he looks at you. So tell Satan to hit the road and look at God's truth and accept his truth. It's easy to accept some of the things in our heads. It's easy to accept the things that don't really affect us all that much. The objective truths. This one's objective too. We all know we're made in the image and likeness of God. That's all in our head. Let it sink down into the heart, because that's going to change everything in your life for the good. Because that's how God made you. Not just good, very good.